Hello.
Yeah.
How you doing?
On Inishmore Island near Butler's Bridge, I wave to a man standing at the doorway of his house.
How are you doing? How are you? That's all right.
And meet Adrian Leddy and his black and white collie, Jess.
Wade had gone past, we were going up to the Cavan Adventure Centre there
about
a couple of hours ago.
I was only looking to see if it was a square.
Yeah.
Adrian's place is his old family homestead, a traditional cottage, once thatched, now slated.
Did you grow up here?
I grew up here and I emigrated and I came back.
Where did you emigrate to?
Dubai for 12 years, America, London first, Guam. Tropical island, I recommend it for everybody, you know. Building a hospital. The company I worked for here, they moved to America and then they got a contract for Guam, so I go anywhere. Yeah, I went to Ethiopia, Rwanda. Nobody in Ethiopia knew who Bob Geldof was, and everybody knew who Roy Keane was. I was watching a game, Man United v Liverpool, in a big hay shed. And half the shed was watching me watching the game because I was a white fella, you know.
It was just
grateful, you know. And lovely people. The people are just beautiful people, you know. But you want to hear about Cavan, don't you? You know.
It's all linked. Yeah.
No, I come back. This is the home place and I like to grow me vegetables organic. And there was a rigger who worked with me. And he says, come on out, I'll show you what Romania's like. This is maybe 2000. And so everything was done with the horse and cart, and I got to drive the horse and cart with a pile of hay on the back and all this type of stuff.
Like old times.
Yeah. And then I done my first 8 years in England to learn what I was doing. So I seen Margaret Thatcher handing her notice in from my vantage point. I was in construction, so that was fun.
Seen a good bit of the world.
Oh, well, yes.
Yes. Hello.
Yes.
So you're happy back here now?
Oh, yes. See, I kind of miss, you know, we miss this. And people who don't go kind of take it for granted, you know. So you come back. I mean, I love to just walk the dog and when I can, I just look over people's hedges and admire.
It's great that you're back here and have your base. And lovely to see the house being restored. A bit of the past coming back.
It's still there.
Yeah,
so.
Hello, Pesh.
Ah, there you go.
Hello,
look
Pesh.
At you.
Isn't she gorgeous?
Now look at you.
Isn't she gorgeous?
Huh? You're rescued from Longford.
Sweetheart.
She's locked in a shed. She got it hard to come into any of the sheds with me for months. Where's the ball? She likes to play football, but you have to hum the tune. You know?
There's the power of talk in Cavan. And a power of water and life. A lake for every day of the year, and all the richness and old connections that go with these inland water habitats. The heart of the old Gaelic kingdom of Breffni, Cavan is an inland county, but it's not insular. There are worlds of the international here, and so many connections from here into the wide world.
How do you do, Jess?
Great.
Jess, how do you do?
Oh,
how
do you do?
You're listening to The County Measure. I'm Vincent Woods. We're making a journey around Ireland 100 years after independence and partition to get a measure, to get many measures of all 32 counties. We're looking at place, landscape, and the people who shape their lives within these boundaries of community and county. In this series, I'm hoping to get a fresh understanding of each county and its people as we shape a radio atlas of Ireland. Driving not exactly in the footsteps of Cromwell, but very close to what's known as Cromwell's Road, here close to Lough Luther, and going to take a trip on the lake out to the renowned Clough Luther Castle, which was the last stronghold of the O'Reillys and of the Gaelic Order and of Old Breffni.
And indeed, the last place in Ireland to hold out against Cromwell's forces, eventually the castle taken in 1653. It's astonishing to drive into this grey, misty morning and think of gun batteries being carted along here and the work that must have gone into war. I suppose it's ever thus. And a wonderful detail in the abundance of nature here. Blackbirds everywhere. A red squirrel has just run across the road. Such a rare sighting anywhere in Ireland these days. And so beautiful to see. Our journey to Clochuachtar Castle and the heartland of Irish history begins at Cavan Adventure Centre in Inishmore, not far from Butler's Bridge. The centre is on Clochuachtar, a maze of waterways and some 90 small lakes along the River Erne. There's a warm welcome from our guide, Fergal Connolly, and the centre's owner, Sean Thornton.
Well, we're on Inishmore Island, so yeah, on an island. This is one of our touring boats, so we bring maybe six or seven people in this boat. So we're going to head up the water and we're going to go two rights. And at the second right, you'll see the castle. So it's going to take us about 20 minutes in the boat. So again, so if you want to head on there.
Yeah, sure.
It's pretty solid there. So,
yeah.
Clochuachtar Castle is on a cranog, a small circular human-made island in the middle of Clochuachtar. The area is a delight for nature lovers. We pass crested grebes, coots and mute swans.
And you get whooper swans as well.
The whooper swans, yeah. This is a really important area, okay. A wintering site for the whooper, but it's also a really important site for our native mute swan. There was a good breeding season last spring, late spring into summer, after a really difficult start because there was quite a significant bird kill up here, swan kill, with the bird flu. Now, what we haven't heard or seen today, common buzzards has established a very strong presence in the area again. Now, this time of year, now you see very intriguing battles. The crows now, they're all establishing their territory in the nest, and there's literally aerial dogfights. They'll all go up en masse and chase the buzzards away. We have a buzzard here.
Oh, yeah.
Here he comes. Look, there's the battle. The battle has started.
Yeah,
Several crows are mobbing it.
Yeah.
And that's going to go on for a while.
Battle.
The modern day battle. Now we first sight of our castle.
Very striking. It was built on a cranog.
It was built on a cranog. The important thing about cranogs is because we were never Romanized, we were never invaded by the Romans, we had no formal structures of villages and towns and connecting roadways, right? So our forefathers, they lived in enclosures, ring forts and cranogs. Now, the cranogs were usually for high status people. So it was always associated with the chiefs, the lords and stuff like that. All this area around here, like Cavan, has a very rich archaeological history. The area is actually dotted with ring forts, Iron Age ring forts and enclosures. Oh, right, Sean, you're gone there. Right. Hold on.
We're docked on the island, looking up at the castle.
The castle was built by the Norman Hugh de Lacy in the 13th century. Thousands of stones were quarried, carted and brought across water to here to build this perfect circular fortress.
About 18 metres high, with walls about 2.5 metres thick.
It is astonishing to think of all the stone that was brought out here to build this.
So it's coarse rubble limestone, but some of the stone has been identified as coming from Cavan Town. Now, so how that was brought out here, you know, there were no roads then, you know. So
eventually then, of course, this became so symbolic and so important.
Yeah.
Cromwell was on the march. They had defeated pretty much everyone, taken all the territory, and this remained.
And this remained, yeah.
And now, what happened then? What happened then was that Cromwell launched an attack on the castle. His soldiers bombarded it for weeks in the spring of 1653 from guns and cannons lined up on the lake shore. One side of the fortress was blown out completely,
and so ended the last siege of the old Gaelic order. The scooped-out structure we see today is a potent reminder of all that history.
Come out as a young fella to this?
Yeah, we used to come maybe a sunset. We'd have a sunset paddles, like, so an evening paddles here on the sun. You'd be paddling down here and you just, the colours beyond the castle. So, yeah, it's lovely paddling here at night when the sun's setting. It really brings you back in time and just switches off.
Here's the hooper, or the geese, it's one of the others.
Across the sky, two hooper swans. Oh, beautiful. Did it specially for us.
Especially for us, yeah.
Just arrived in the lovely town of Ballyjamesduff, and it's so nice to be back and fond of this town. I'm going to go off now in search of tones that are tender and tones that are tough and see if we can find Paddy Riley.
And tones that are tender and tones that are gruff are whispering over the sea. Come back, Paddy Riley, to Ballyjamesduff. Come home, Paddy Riley, to me.
Are you Ballyjamesduff women?
No, we're not originally from here, no.
Don't.
It's a good place to blow into, I reckon.
It is.
Don't think so.
Isn't it?
No wonder Paddy Riley never came back.
What's your name, sorry?
Breeder.
Breeder, Vincent. Lovely to meet you. And joking aside, it's a good place, isn't it?
It is, yeah. They're very friendly, you know, they're nice. Yeah. Like, I don't live around the town. I live out about 2 miles away from here. Like, it's brilliant. Imagine, like, I moved out here. I used to never lock the door or anything. Do you know what I mean? You couldn't do that in Dublin, not lock your door. Do you know what I mean? When I moved down to Yorkshire, I tell you, and the postman used to say, "Breeder, what have you gotten there?" I said, "You pick it up and put it in your pocket." I said, "You think it was a rat wire?" Sure, I can bark as well. Listen,
it's great to meet you.
Have a great day. Yeah. Right, God bless you.
Come back, Paddy Riley, to Ballyjamesduff. Come home, Paddy Riley, to me.
You're listening to The County Measure, and we're in County Cavan.
Walking up Butler Street here in Belturbet, past the Seven
Horses Bar
Hotel, post office on the left, and the memorial to the two young people killed in the bombing here back in 1972.
In Belturbet, you're reminded again of how close to the border we are. Immortalised in bronze, the two local teenagers, Geraldine O'Reilly and Patrick Stanley, killed here in December 1972. If a parting leaves a void, reads the plaque, then fill it with peace and friendship shared. And somehow, across the street, in Café Nua, there is that feeling of friendships made, of a sharing and sustaining.
Going into a cafe with the best food, and some of it coming from other parts of Europe. Hiya, I'm Vincent.
Nice
to meet you.
Laura. I'm in Belturbet already nearly 15 years, so I'm originally from Latvia. I came here as a customer, then I got the job.
Anna, where are you from originally?
Originally, I'm from Poland. And before, I lived in Cavan. And then I moved to Belturbet. And I live 5 years here already. And I work here 2 years this year will be.
And did you say to me that you're originally from a small town Poland?
Yes, yes.
So you feel quite at home in Belturbet?
I feel quite at home, and I can say Belturbet is my home now. It's very nice place to work here in Cafe Nua. I like the people in Belturbet. I like the atmosphere. And I highly recommended this place for the tourist, to other people. It's worth it to come and visit Belturbet and this place here, this coffee shop.
All the cakes are homemade here, aren't they?
Yeah, all the cakes are homemade. So everything we have on the display, it's made from scratch. So we have coffee shop here and then bakery next door.
I like something the look of the honey cake and the opera cake as well.
Yeah, so the honey cake, it's a honey sponge and then the cream filling. It's actually traditional Latvian cake.
Is it?
Yeah, so when we started to make it, the Irish people was like, but then when people taste it, so they come back for it.
So it's layers of sponge and honey.
Yeah.
Mm. I think I might have to sample that later.
Indeed.
And the scones then?
Yeah. The scones as well. So scones we bake here. So usually the person who bakes scones come here around 6 o'clock.
There's no train. There's no train going home. There's no train now where I come from.
We're coming to Belturbet railway station. Only thing is, we're about 60 years too late for a train.
There's no train now where I come from.
The railway station here at Belturbet was once a thriving connection point for two lines, the Great Northern Railway connecting many places to Belfast and the Midland Great Western Line from Dublin to Sligo, and later to the Arigna mine in County Leitrim.
Hello.
Is it Vincent?
It is.
Welcome there, I'm Tony.
Tony, lovely to meet you. What a beautiful building.
Oh, isn't it? Yeah.
All lines closed in 1959, and now, as Lisa O'Neill reflects in her song, there is still no train service in County Cavan.
Vincent, you're welcome. You're welcome to Belturbet Heritage Railway, and it's great.
This building was derelict until 1994, when a group of local people decided to try and save it.
And here we are standing in this beautifully restored interior, lovely fire going, and this is such a sense of history and the present. People used to come, didn't they, from Dublin on day trips, and then get on a steamer, the Erin, off to Enniskillen.
Steamship Belturbet.
And indeed to the wider world.
A lot of history.
People emigrating,
And that's the ticket office. Further in, then, you had another office, which is the station master's.
Would we have a look at the outside, at the platform?
Great.
The sound effects and all. Great.
So now you're here on the platform. So you have a 1940s Ruston engine here, and then you have the brake fan at the end. The brake fan was the last item on the system. It controlled the train. And then in the centre you have the base of a carriage. That carriage, 62-foot carriage, came up from Mallow, but it was in such a poor condition that actually the journey shook it to pieces. And what we were left with then really was the bass. But that's very useful because we have a lot of music events through the year. Now you can hear our background
on cue
effects. people like
the
that.
The ghost of trains passed. Beautiful.
Sam O'Keefe's grandfather operated a brake van just like the red-painted van that's parked at the far end of the platform.
And if you want to step on in, you can have a look.
It kind of feels like going onto a film set.
I expect
to get a shovel now and working with the coal.
Yes, absolutely. But we have boxes here at the front and at the back, steel boxes, and in there was sand. And to give it traction, used to release sand onto the actual rail itself. And in the middle we have the brake system, And when Grandad then was looking out the window, he knew, like, the here's the corner coming up.
Yeah.
Put on the brakes. But that was the window that he was looking out through either side.
Yeah.
And I think he had a fire here as well. There was a there was a place for a little bit of a stove to keep them warm, you know. It's not very tall. And I'm 6 foot three, so it can be difficult when you're a big man.
Yeah.
But you can see that it's narrow enough. The main function, as I said, was the weight of the actual wagon to steady the train.
Local historian George Morrissey remembers the trains in action here.
Yes, I do. I remember going to Clonus, which is 10 miles away, with the greyhounds, my father's greyhounds. He used to take a day off work and take them during the day to the Clonus dog track.
Mary O'Reilly also has a personal connection to the Belturbet railway station.
My mother and father are both from Belturbet and emigrated at different times to New York, where they married and raised a family, and eventually we all came back. And I'm the youngest of the family, and I now live in the family place here in Belturbet, and it's wonderful.
Yeah. But you grew up in New York?
I was raised in New York.
Was that New York City?
New York City and Boston.
Oh, wonderful. Mm-hmm. And would they have left, do you think, from the railway station?
They definitely left both of them from this station, about 10 years apart.
Astonishing. And here you are now.
And they always spoke so lovingly of the railway.
Did
they? My mother in particular, which is one of the reasons I offered to volunteer here, because whenever she spoke of it, it just was with such love and tenderness in her voice, remembering her father, hearing the whistle and hitching up the pony and trap to come collect them here, and very touching. I never dreamt that I'd be here on a regular basis as I am now, but I'm delighted to be here.
My name is Dara Slack. I am lead artist in Dr. Slack and the Palpitations. This is our song called On Cailleac Ó Lochan Lae.
Is Misha on Cailleac Ó Lochan Lae. The cara o vric o bá.
The words have been taken from a poem by Noel Monaghan.
Ma fushkin lawn to girly jean. Olis na triva and quivana. Van me no rein and givery. The cara of Rekabas is Misha and Kayako Lakon Lay.
Lochan Lae Mountain is a beautiful place just outside Ballybor City. People have been in the area since as far back as the Stone Age. There are three cairns situated on top of Lochan Lae Mountain. There was also a lake, which has mysteriously disappeared. And up until not that long ago, the lake was a popular place associated with cures.
You're listening to The County Measure.
Hello.
Hello there. Hello.
They're all going to be stars.
Well, of course they're stars.
They already are.
Of course they are, yeah.
If you sit down, we'll let you play a game of bingo.
Fantastic.
You might win a fortune.
I might.
We're in Cavan Town, and who could resist bingo hour at the Cha Oskill Family Resource Centre in Church
Brilliant.
Street.
Brilliant.
You have to have 15 bucks.
Yeah.
Here's another one.
Fantastic.
For you.
Yeah. Great. Oh, there's one on the floor. 5 cents.
Cha Oskill offers an open door and open hearted practical support to many.
3 and 7, 37.
I've got a line. Am I allowed to
no.
win?
Eight
you won't let me win.
One. You've already won.
They provide counselling, community outreach, occupational therapy, domestic abuse support, various youth services, and that's just part of the picture.
What we do here really is walking, flower arrangement, dancing, art, swimming, exercise and knitting. Thursday we have alone, a girl came to speak to us a couple of weeks back on alone here, and then singing.
When there's Halloween or anything, we always have a party. They always do a party in here for
us. Yeah, we have a sing-song and come with our green hats on us.
I heard about a lovely tradition, Easter tradition in Cavan, and I think it might also be in parts of Monaghan and Fermanagh, anyway, kind of parts of Ulster, where at Easter people would climb, go up a hill, and boil eggs on an open fire.
The clue dogs, they're called them.
Oh, yes.
Kids go around and they go out to the country houses and get fresh eggs. The clue dogs, they're called them. But that's done away with too.
Yeah.
Is it? Is it? It is. The children don't be bothered now. They have too much.
They might be revived. And did they dye the eggs sometimes with...
Colour them with
twin flowers and various natural dyes. And
but you can buy them coloured.
We used to collect them.
Joining the bingo group are centre coordinator Tara Lena and family support team leader Dorina Lynch.
Cha Oskill itself started in 2000. Originally it would have been myself and Dorina and an administrator. And to date, now we've about 38 people who work here. One of the main things we were doing now recently was to combat isolation, and isolation that was caused possibly during COVID. Mm-hmm. So we started a community big breakfast, and it's been fantastic to see people coming out and people that haven't met each other for so long. And what we purposely do is we have big tables, so everybody's mixing, everybody's there, and it sort of gets the community to realise that we're all here together and we're all working together to keep this a nice, happy community that likes to be together and do things together.
Then we have a photography group that meets on a Thursday and that supports. It initially was set up with the mental health team for those experiencing maybe some mental health and how photography really promotes that. We then also have the NA Narcotics Anonymous meet here on a Tuesday night. We have a movie group that meets here on a Tuesday night as well. They meet and do movie reviews and all that. We have baby massage coming up as well.
Oh, it feels like a real open door house and centre, all right, and I'm really glad we stepped into it.
Well, I'm very glad.
Glad to have you in here.
Put on your Easter bonnet with all the frills upon it and be the grandest fellow in the Easter parade. I could ride a clover and when they look me over I'll be the grandest fellow in the Easter parade.
That's enough. I know
the
more.
The great Cavan song that I love is the Percy Bridge.
In Virginia Town, I step into the Mobiligist mobile phone shop on Main Street to buy a charger and enter a world of banter to warm the heart.
They ring my doorbell 7 days a week.
Two people deep in animated exchange, local woman Lyola Arnold and shop owner BD, who's originally from Afghanistan.
I was the youngest of 9, remember? My mother ran out of names. Remember that? She had 4 and 4. And then at 45, to discover this was coming.
Yeah.
The princess of all.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she ran out of names. So my father went up to her in Drogheda after she had me and said, "Kathleen, what are we going to call this child?" "Oh," so she, "I don't know, William," she said. "It's the 31st July and it's the feast day of St. Ignatius of Loyola." "You're not calling any child of mine Ignatius." "No," she said, "I was thinking of Loyola." And he said, "What? What will she be landed with?" He was right. Loyola, Loyover, Tiova, everything.
I get the lot. But you're busy doing a bit of matchmaking here.
Well, I was trying there for him. He's looking for a woman.
Waiting. Yeah. Like, it's been 3 years, like, she told me she's going to find somebody for me.
But you look at, you're too fussy. I told you that.
Give me options, like.
But you have to join clubs.
You didn't even give me a single option, like. How do you know I'm fussy, like?
Do you know what?
Yeah.
Oh, look
you
at
you. You need to find me somebody.
You, see, you sound to me like, do you know what you sound to me like? Yeah. You sound to me like a lad that only a mother could love.
Is that a compliment?
It is a compliment, because you just sound to me as if you just want to be mothered.
See, I came in to buy a charger for my phone because I've forgotten it when I was home. And I meet the two of you.
It's, I had to come because I was being hacked.
Yeah. Oh, were you?
Yes. Ooh. And the only hackers I ever knew were the ones out of the Dartry Laundry that used to hack the shorts. And I didn't know what to do or anything about it. So anyway,
I had to come
to my saviour here. That's just life. I shall talk to you.
No bother, I'll talk to you.
You come back with a few women.
I shall look, choice. I don't know. There's a nursing home out the road, I might get some out there. I'll have to put an ad in the window.
Right, play properly, do sideline, let's go. Call it. Call the screen, it's coming. Option.
Not too far from the mobile phone shop is Virginia College, a fine secondary school on the edge of the town and close to Loch Ramor.
Rebounds.
800 students here, many cultures and languages, and a thriving, energetic sports scene.
Best to three, one shot for... 1 point for one.
Their under-19 female basketball team have been All-Ireland champions 2 years in a row.
Go on, I'll take from there then.
I'm Aidan Coyle, I'm the PE and biology teacher in Virginia College, Cavan.
Great school. There's such a lovely atmosphere when you walk in here.
Students, yeah, it's a fantastic school. In fairness, boys and girls are co-ed. It's a fantastic atmosphere. It's always brilliant. You can hear the bubbliness and the enthusiasm of the students. Are a really, really nice school.
And the girls have been doing brilliantly in basketball, the under-19 champions, All-Ireland champions 2 years in a row.
Yeah, they're fantastic. They're an absolutely incredible group of girls. I suppose to get to an All-Ireland final is an achievement in itself, but to win not one but two back-to-back is a testament to the girls. They're just incredible. So they are. Don't take a lot of praise for what's happened, because they're just fantastic.
Well done. Nice ball. Up. And rebounds.
My name is Niamh Carra. I'm one of the coaches here in Virginia College.
And you've done a pretty good job, it has to be said.
It's not too hard when you have good players.
Yeah. You obviously make the good players. I mean, they don't just arrive ready-made.
No, so I suppose there's two folds to that. One, we take them in first year and we start building the fundamental skills with them. I suppose when they come in first year, some of them will already have been with East Cavan Eagles Club, so they might already have them, and that's great, because then they bring on the kind of students that have never played before. And then sometimes in first year, some of those students might then decide to join East Cavan Eagles. So we have a great relationship with the club, which is excellent, and they're always very supportive of us. And then we just build it up from there, just continuously just working on kind of on skills while having a bit of fun, making sure that they try and come back to it year every year.
Play on, pivot, and go looking. Up, Katie, up.
Who's Emma? Captain.
Yeah.
Captain of the winning All-Ireland team. Fantastic. So you beat the Mercy lot down in Tralee.
Yeah.
What did that feel like?
It was a really great experience. You know, the atmosphere in the arena that day was, it was actually unbelievable. Like, we had half our school up and they were all cheering and all our friends and family were there. So it was a great way to end our 6 years playing basketball for Virginia. So, yeah.
And did anyone else come up through GAA?
Yeah, I've played GAA since I was in primary school. So I started playing basketball when I came to secondary school because I wanted to meet new friends when I started first year. Routine flying.
Is it useful to have that background in GAA when it comes to basketball?
Yeah, I think it was really helpful. It was kind of difficult at first to learn the difference in rules because obviously the tackling is very different in football to basketball, but I think the skills really transferred over and it was nice to have them together.
Anyone that didn't come up through GAA but actually began to play basketball here in the college?
Caitlin McElhenney.
And what is it about the sport that made you fall in love with it?
It's just, there's so much in it and there's so many different skills, and every time you learn something there's always something more that you can progress to, and there's no limit to how much you can do with it.
Shoot that for the winner. Bring it out.
The future is bright. Like, our boys basketball yesterday were in the Northeast Regional Final for first and second years, and the girls first and second year teams are in the Northeast Regional Final this Tuesday as well, so we still have them developing and coming up, so yeah. Hopefully it'll keep going. Brilliant. From strength to strength.
Brilliant. Well done, Sinead. Nice, Ellen. Bring it out. Right, 6 years, let's finish it.
Killeshandra, a town close to the Leitrim border, has been immortalised in song in Tom Moore's lovely Cavan Girl, and as a central location in the old Republican rouser Come Out Ye Black and Tans. Once a prosperous linen town, the town has been in decline for decades despite the Lakelands Dairy Company and visiting anglers who head for nearby Rockfield Lake. There's a strong tradition of music here, and the local branch of Coltas keeps the flame lit with an annual Tradfest and weekly sessions in Hayes's Bar on the main street. There we meet Ted Sweeney, chair of the local Coltas Cultury Éireann branch.
Ted, Thursday night in Killeshandra in Hayes's here, and great, 16 musicians I've counted here, and a great range of instruments and a great sound. 40 years you're going.
40 years, yeah. I think we're going since about 1984, anywhere thereabouts. We started off in a pub down the town, small pub. Seamus and Monica Riley owned it in those years. And
it is a long tradition of music in the area, isn't there, Killeshandra?
Absolutely, there is.
Back into the kind of North Leitrim, South Leitrim hinterland. And
true enough, yeah. We were lucky to have musicians from South Leitrim, mostly the Carrigallen area, who would come into this town here, the famous family of Greys. There was a well-known Kelly band in the area too, and Eugene Leddy's Kelly band, and quite a few of the older musicians. Again, John P. O'Reilly, Tommy Corn, Tommy O'Reilly, who owned the pub down the town at that time, and Packy Teevan. They were all local musicians who played with the Eugene Leddy Kelly band, which was a very successful Kelly band and a very well-known Kelly band in the 50s and 60s.
It's lovely as well to see generations of musicians here. Like, there's a whole new cohort of young players, and I think there are several families in the mix, and you know, fathers, daughters, sons, grandchildren. Paddy, you have grandchildren in tonight.
Two in, Aideen and Keelan Martin. There, Gemma is my daughter. There, she plays the concertina, and they're playing now.
Is there a singer among you as well?
Yeah, we have a few. We have.
All fingers are pointing at yourself.
Jude Collins. Yeah, well, I'm not from here originally, but I'm here the last 4 or 5 years. And
Married in,
yeah.
It's a good way to come in, yeah. Might get one out of you as well.
maca, the piano, the organ or the lute, the bugle or the mandolin, the fiddle or the flute, or any other instrument you've ever gazed upon, but give to me a tune upon the wee melodeon. For I am not the master of this instrument, you see. I can kick up a hell of a noise wherever I may be. Whenever I'm disconcerted with the way the world goes on, I'll always have a tune upon the wee melodeon. I needn't blush to tell you all I love the Colleen Grand. I thought she was.
You're listening to The County Measure and we're in County Cavan.
Hi, my name is Kevin McGahern. I'm a comedian and actor from County Cavan. When you think of Cavan, you might think of tight-fisted farmers, little to be at but staring at lakes, eating the dinner from a drawer, peeling an orange in their pocket. You know the cute Cavan stereotype. Neil Tobin has a lot to answer for. As a proud son of Breffni, I'm not sure I'd agree to the mean stereotype. But yes, I can attest to the staring at lakes due to the sheer number. 365, it said. Practically no vista is without a view of one. But there's much more to appreciate, with its hills, forests and lush hedgerows, burrens, dykes, dunkels and drumlins. It's an unspoilt and uncultivated terrain, unyielding to the march of time. A place of living heritage with its lilters and mummers, wren boys, banbeggin and cluedhogs. This continuity is reflected in the distinct dialect with its influences of Scottish planters and Norsemen, its vestiges of visceral Elizabethan English in everyday speech, a place where the vowel exchange still holds sway. Phrases like "fierce hate off that fire" and "you can't bait a cup of tea" still ring true. Something I've noticed that's curiously Cavan is our habit of adding on a redundant appendage to a sentence that has absolutely no business being there at all.
I was down the town last night, so I was. Tipped into Fitch's, so I did. Slasher had the new woman with them, so he had.
There's a humour and colour to the Cavan dialect all of its own that I've great affection for. Where else would you hear a phrase such as "Look at yon Haverill running onto the pitch to start a schmozzle," or "Get your feet off that couch, you clatty dog," or "What are you foostering at there, Gahala?" or even "That's an ogeous day, hey," which, depending on the inflection, could mean the sun is splitting the stones or it's raining from the heavens. In a rapidly homogenised world with real-time erosion of regional dialects, I'm proud to come from a place that has a distinct voice and character.
So I am.
Heading from Drong to Bailieborough and these beautiful Drumlin Hills. A lot of flooding, a lot of rain, but the roads, but feels like rivers. But then these beautiful banks of whin, of gorse, just rolling right along the tops of the Drumlins. It's such a lovely landscape. And then ahead of us, powering away, windmills going like the clappers. So plenty of energy in the place, and you can feel it.
And you can feel that energy on Shan Nua Farm here in Bailieborough.
Aisling, it's nice to meet you. Great to be here.
Aisling Carlin and her husband Gregory Droulan returned here from France to start farming in a new way, where it's not just about sustainability, but also about regeneration.
Shan Nua Farm, great name.
That's why we picked it, actually. Shan for the old, and Nua for the new. So what we have here, we've got onion and garlic that have been overwintered. We pop those in around October time. We normally do it around October. So all the beds are 10 metres long, and we're doing lots of 10 beds of carrots this year. The construction.
And what are you using then to fertilise the beds and to fertilise the drills along here?
We don't fertilise as such. We apply compost every year. So the way this garden was built, we rolled out a lot of organic matter. So we used a mix of straw and hay.
We sowed a cover crop on that. Then the next year we let the cover crop fall into the ground, and we started bringing in compost for the beds, and then wood chips in between.
What's sleeping in here under the cover?
This is nice. Like young Chinese cabbage that we transplanted 2 weeks ago.
Look great. That fresh green is beautiful. It's like the little shock of green coming out of the mushroom compost. It's great. They look terrific. Might have a look at a few hens.
Yeah, it's a bit of a stroll, but yeah. Nice. We'll see the eggmobile, the chicken mobile.
It looks like a little kind of mobile home, doesn't it? A hen mobile home.
Yeah. So we probably have in or around 300 chickens here. We always keep these nets up.
I was going to say, well fenced off against foxes.
Yeah. Exactly. We've never, like, touch wood, we've never had any problems. And we have pine martens here. We've got a lot of pine martens. We've never had problems. Like, the electric fences just work really, really well.
Right, yeah. Keep them out.
And then it's also to give them, you know, their own, like, their that designated little area. And, you know, they have that for whatever it is. Currently, we're moving them every fourth or so day.
Yeah, so they're feeding outside as well. And what else do you feed them?
Well, we feed them pellets. We feed them with organic pellets. Then we give them additionally apple cider vinegar in their water.
The best of what comes out of the ground too.
Yeah.
Actually, I'm interested in this idea of sustainability and regeneration and the difference between, because they are slightly different concepts, aren't they?
Yeah, absolutely. Regenerative, really, well, for us anyway, in our interpretation, would be going one little step further. So sustainability, you're kind of sustaining the environment and the life that's in it, whereas our goal is to improve the ecosystem by the different methods. So the different methods of gardening, the holistic management of our animals. You want your animals to have the most natural environment possible. And to be able to express themselves as they should. The chickens, for example, scratching the ground and picking up bugs from the ground, and we move them every few days so that they have a new area, fresh area, clean area. The same with the pigs and the cows. Everybody gets moved regularly.
That's great to see this. Really, it's doing terrific work. Yeah.
It's nice to have you here.
Yeah. Shan knew it is. It's so nice to walk with an old school friend. I've such memories of customs checks and British Army and security bristling along here. And I'm sure you have the same from memories going to Enniskillen.
Absolutely, yeah.
Black Lion and the areas around it were familiar country to me as a lad, crossing the border into Northern Ireland with my family to shop in Enniskillen. Nearby, Belturbet has the Peace Bridge, as the cross-border Senator George Mitchell Bridge is known. And here, in Black Lion, this is my personal Peace Bridge, where visible barriers are gone and we can come and go without challenge or danger. Here I walk with an old friend from school days nearby. Agnes McKenna knows the terrain well.
You experienced it. Coming up to here, you had on this side, you had a hut, and that's what it was, and you had the customs from the southern side. And you would be searched sometimes because there was lots of items you weren't allowed to bring across. The most famous one, and the one that the stories are told most about, is butter. You weren't allowed to take butter across. And there are many stories about older men coming across and them having the butter on the top of their head with the hat on them. And some of the people in the hut knew they had it, but they couldn't figure out where. They'd have searched their bike and their thing, and they'd put them sitting beside the fire, and the next thing it'd start dripping down their face. Those are the type of stories. Didn't experience that, but did experience the searches.
I think we're on pretty much on the line, the Cavan Fermanagh, the border line. You've got this little marker on the wall. You'd have to look very closely to see it properly.
The pavement change will indicate to you exactly where it was.
Pavement changes colour. Not green to orange quite, but and then we're in Belcoo.
I think wherever you grow up, I don't think people realise that your circumstances as a child makes you the person you are when you grow up. So being through here, being through what we did go through with the unrest in Northern Ireland, I think it has made us of a certain age more appreciative that we can live in peace.
I do. I must say my heart is gladdened every time I cross here now.
Absolutely.
And this is that sense of freedom, you know.
Yeah.
It's, and I guess people who never knew it don't realise just how significant that is. Will we stomp back over the bridge, back into the Republic?
The bridges of Cavan are many and varied. Old stone, new steel and concrete, arches, buttresses, tension lines, holding the balance. Travelling here, you're reminded that the past is always present. It's never simply water under a bridge. It's how we direct and harness that water that decides so much for the future. There's the power of youth and generosity here, and a beguiling youthful spirit in the people. A world of potential.